Listen, there was this guy by the name of George Bean from a place called Palmdale, California. Does anybody know where that's at? Anybody ever been there? I've never been there, but... and... I'm not surprised, Kurt. So anyways, this guy by the name of George Bean went through, in Palmdale, California, went through a drive-thru at a fast food store, and he ordered four sandwiches off of the dollar menu. Four sandwiches off the dollar menu. You can do the math, right? The total came to $4.33 with tax, okay? The assistant at the drive-thru window mistakenly punched the number in twice. So instead of being $4.33, it was $4,334.33. So she punched it in twice. George, not knowing this, simply handed his debit card to the lady at the window. Handed his debit card to the lady at the window. She swiped the card, handed the food and the slip in the card back to him, and he went down the road. He had no idea what had occurred. Like most of us, I mean, how many of you look at the slip after you've gotten it back? You don't even think about it. Of course, I usually don't give him my card, but anyways. He never thought a thing about it until later that same day he tried to use his card again and his account had been frozen. When the newspaper reporters heard of it in their town there, they went to him and they wrote a story about his situation. And it was actually called, the article was called, "The Most Expensive Meal in History." The most expensive meal in history. Of course, that's not true, but it certainly did grab the attention of the paper's readers. If you do a search on Google, you'll find out that there are some people who live at a different level than most of us in this room. In 2015, a restaurant by the name of Old Homestead in New York City offered what they called a decadent four-person meal for, are you ready for this? For $35,000. $35,000. If you do the math, that comes to $8,750 per person. One meal. Now, I want to tell you what was in this meal, right? Like when I read it, I'm like, whoa, why would anybody want to eat this to begin with, right? So anyways, it was a Thanksgiving meal for four people. Did I tell you the number? $35,000, right? In the meal, are you ready? Were crispy flakes made of 24 karat gold, edible crispy flakes made of 24 karat gold. That's not the end of it, right? Also to eat were sweet potatoes topped with fish eggs, caviar, right? Sweet potatoes topped with fish eggs, right? And then finally, these were the things that stood out about the meal. Does anybody know what squab is? You do? Have you had it before? Okay, squab, for those, I didn't know, but for those of you who don't know, I found out. These were with the turkey. They kind of sat with each other. Squab, so we got, let me just review. We've got 24 karat gold flakes. We've got fish eggs on sweet potatoes, and now we've got squab next to the turkey. Here's what squab is. Squab is young pigeons. They're supposedly a delicacy, I guess. Young pigeons, like baby pigeons. $35,000, I thought about this, for rock. That's what gold is, in case anybody doesn't know that. Rocks, fish eggs, and young pigeons. Now, to be fair, this dinner did come with front row seats to the Macy's Day Parade in New York City, which cost, the ticket price was $300. So of the $8,750, $300 of it was for tickets for the Macy's Day Parade. And it also did come with a shopping spree of $1,000 per person. So four people. But if you still do the math, the meal came out to, and I got it down here, right here. It came out to almost $7,500 a person. Four rocks, fish eggs, and little baby pigeons. Oh, come on now. Rocks, fish eggs, and little baby pigeons. Now, I'm sure this is probably not the most expensive meal in history, but it definitely gives you an idea of what some people are willing to pay for. Again, if you do a search, you'll find out that there are some very expensive meals out there. The Masa restaurant in New York City, their dinner plates start at $450 a person. So, you know, you and I, we're going down here to John and Mary's or whatever, and I'm that guy. I'm George Bean who goes through the drive-thrus, and I'm ordering off the dollar menu, right? You know me, right? I'm ordering off the dollar menu. But some folks go to these restaurants that start out at $450 a plate. I think I'm pronouncing this right. It's called the Guy Savoy Restaurant in Las Vegas. Anybody ever been there? I didn't think so. Plates there start at $400 a plate. So my wife and I, you know, we decided I'd take her out for a nice... Listen, I've taken her to the El Chapo or whatever the thing is up by the... what's the name? The guys wear the chaps or the things. What is it? It's not El Chapo. It's Texas Day Brazil, right? Texas Day Brazil, where the guys wear the things. The things. They wear the things. They wear some things there. That's how I remember it. El Chapo there up there. Yeah. Listen, it's like $45 a person, and I'm like... you know, we're going in there. So I can't even imagine $400 a plate. And again, while these are very expensive meals and outside the price range of most of us in here, I dare say all of us in here, I would suggest to you this morning that these are still not the most expensive meals in history. I had every intentions this morning of going to the grocery store. I totally forgot. In fact, I was sitting in Sunday school and I was going like, I totally blanked on going to the store. But I was going to go to the store and get an apple, you know, that piece of fruit. And that apple represents one of the most expensive meals in all of history. Yeah. A piece of fruit. And when they ate that fruit, everything changed, but not for the good. What's crazy about that is that it wasn't like there wasn't some other really good stuff to eat. In fact, God said in Genesis 2:9, this is what happened. It says, "The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food." You know, a lot of times when we read that creation account and the account of the fall, we think the only thing that was pleasing to look at or good to eat was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but that wasn't true. Everything that God made, it was pleasing to the eye and good for food. So it wasn't like they were starving to death or there wasn't anything else to eat. There was plenty of other really, really good food to eat. And if you turn there in your Bibles and you read about it, you'll find out that God even warned them that if they eat of this, if they eat of this particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they're going to pay an enormous cost. He said, for when you eat of it, you will die. What God was really saying to them and to us is that when you eat of that tree, when that happened, it will leave you like it did George Bean, utterly bankrupt. Utterly bankrupt. Bankrupt physically, bankrupt spiritually, bankrupt soulishly. It will leave you utterly bankrupt. But as we know the story, we as mankind chose to eat from it anyways. And we've been paying the price ever since. Have any of you ever eaten something and you've never been, because of a reaction or something that happened, you've never been able to eat that ever again? You know, for some of you, you've probably heard me tell this before. For me, it's tuna casserole. Right? I can't eat it. In fact, my wife, she has been so gracious all these years that we've been married. She's never made it because just the smell of it in the house makes me ill. Something about it. One time, I think I must have had the flu coming on, and my mom made tuna casserole, and I'll never forget. The other thing I can't drink is Dr. Pepper. Because I had tuna casserole along with Dr. Pepper. And today, those two things are forever etched in somewhere in here. Do not do that again. Never, ever do that again. So I've tried. I've been around. I've thought, you know, some of you, you've made it, and I've been around where it's been made, and I thought, should I try it again? Somebody says, what do you want to drink? And I've gone to the case, the cold case, and I see the Dr. Pepper, and I think, should I try it again? And I'm like, I can't do it. Now, that was 40-some years ago that experience happened, right? And still to this day, I feel affected by it. But I'm telling you, this meal that was eaten thousands of years ago is still having incalculable effects on you and I today. You and I live every day with the effects of that meal, that very, very, very expensive meal that was eaten. Think about it, if you will, with me for just a minute. The cost of broken lives. How do you calculate that? The guilt and the shame that people have lived with, and in an effort to try to live with that, they've gone to other things to try to numb the pain. How do you put a cost on the brokenness in people's lives? You know, just recently, I had the occasion to go to a funeral, a wake actually, of a fellow who had taken too many drugs. And on my way to this particular gathering, as I was going over there, you know, you kind of try to think in your mind, what will I say? What will it be like? So on and so on. I'm trying to imagine what this setting's going to be like. And as I'm driving, I'm saying, God, I know this is gonna be one of those moments where if I'm gonna be who you need me to be in this moment, I need you to fill me afresh with your spirit, because my anticipation was just utter brokenness. And I wasn't surprised. I pulled into the parking lot, and one of the first things I noticed at this funeral home is that all the people were standing outside. Young people, tons of young people and millennials standing outside. They did not want to go in. I walked up to some of them, and I was looking for this particular young man, and I said, do you know where he is? And there he was in the middle of the crowd. And I said, have you been in yet? And he said, no, I really don't want to go in. And you could just feel, it was palpable. The brokenness in the lives, not just of the person laying in the casket, but of the people who came to the wake. And I'm not just, please understand me this morning, I'm not just talking about the sadness about the occasion. I'm talking about the collective brokenness of people who find themselves in that culture. How do you put a cost on that? How do you put a price tag on that? And that's just one dynamic of the price and the cost of that meal that was eaten. How about the cost in relationships? You only have to go to the next chapter after they ate that meal. You only have to go to the next chapter to see a brother murdering another brother. The unleashed anger that sin gave birth to. And we see it all the time. Every day, you and I are rubbing shoulders with broken people and broken relationships. And I'm just talking about here in the church. The messed up relationships. Mom and dad's not working well with their children. Children not working well with their parents. Husbands and wives not relating well to each other and loving each other like they should. It's all because we ate this meal and it cost us everything. We've been utterly bankrupt since. I did some research this week, and this is just this is a worldwide thing. You know that the effects of sin are just not just in America, right? You do know that, right? And we're just a little population of a whole big world. But I looked up the cost per year of keeping people in jail. Just in our country, it costs us $39 billion a year to house people in prison. That's an expensive meal. How about the cost? How do you calculate the cost of nations warring against other nations? I don't even think you can begin to calculate that. The amount of money that gets spent, the amount of lives that get blown apart. I'm telling you, folks, that was a very, very, very expensive meal that was eaten. Say nothing about the cost of physical illness, mental illness, emotional anguish. This year, it is estimated that every person in the United States, it will cost $10,000 for healthcare costs. Every person, that means every kid, every old person, every young person, it's $10,000 as well. And that comes to, if you can do the math, it comes to $321 trillion it will cost this year in healthcare costs. That's in our country. I'm telling you, that was a really expensive meal. And that's to say nothing about the largest cost of you and I being internally separated from our Creator. How do you put a price tag on that? And while I've given you some ways of looking at this, some numbers that to even go with it, I'm telling you this morning that meal, that was eaten in the garden thousands of years ago, while a very incredibly, enormously expensive meal. I'm telling you this morning, it's still not the most costliest meal ever eaten. I'd like to suggest to you this morning, this table right here represents the most expensive meal in all of history. This meal, right here, some crushed up crackers and some juice from the fruit of the vine in some little shot glasses. It probably doesn't cost us this morning. By the way, if you're here and you happen to be guests, it's free of charge. This isn't $400 a serving, all right? This is free. It's free to you. And it probably, the one serving of this probably isn't a nickel in the cost to the church. But what I'm saying to us this morning is it is the most expensive meal ever paid for in all of history. And it's free to us. You can't pay for this. It's already been paid for. It's already been bought, and it's already been paid for. Now, you may be saying to yourself, why do you think it's the most costliest meal, the most expensive meal in all of history? For those of you who may not know, these little pieces of cracker represent the body of Jesus Christ. These little cups of juice, they represent the blood of Jesus Christ. What makes them, or this, the most costly meal ever in history is that Jesus Christ had to give his life to buy this meal for you and I. He gave his life. Now, you know, we talked about a meal that's $8,700. We talked per person. We talked about restaurants who even today charge $450 a plate. Some charge $400, $300 a plate. But you cannot Google and find a meal that costs someone their life. It's not out there. Because there's only been ever one meal that somebody had to pay for with their very life. Jesus died. John says this in 1 John 2:2. Jesus Christ was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for your sins. He died for my sins. But what I think we fail to comprehend is that he took upon himself the sin of the whole world. Currently, there are about 7 billion people living on planet Earth. That's a lot. Very good, Kurt. That's a lot of sin. Hello? That's a lot of sin. But over the course of time, it is estimated that there have been living on planet Earth at some point in time about 107 billion people. To calculate that out, if you were to take every person that's alive today, there are 15 other people who have died who once did live here on planet Earth. So your life is represented by, in the total population of people ever lived on planet Earth, by 15 other gravestones. Jesus took all of that. Up until this point, 107 billion people's worth of sin. He took it all on himself and paid for everyone. Each of us here today is affected by sin in a variety of ways. We deal with our own personal issues and effects of sin in our own individual life. And those issues end up impacting the way that we think, the way that we feel, choices and decisions we make. We all deal with the personal effects of sin in our life. We deal with the general effect of sin on mankind. We deal with that as well. Some of you probably came here with some aches and pains this morning. Look at what Tracy's dealing with there in the back. That is all because of the fallen state of our of mankind, of the world. You know, my big toe aches right now. It aches because of the fallenness of the world we live in. At other times, we deal with our own things, but at other times, we are affected by the sins of others. Hello? But when I'm not flying just straight, it has a way of bleeding out, of leaking out, and it ends up impacting and affecting other people. But even with all of that, that you and I have to contend against and with, even with all of that, none of us in here this morning have ever known the full weight of sin. None of us. We're dealing with side effects. We're dealing with personal effects and the bumping into other people. But none of us have. Have you ever comprehended that? Have you ever comprehended how much sin there is in the world? It's uncalculable. And you and I have never had to deal with the full weight of all that. But Jesus did. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6. I want to read it to you out of several different translations because there's some nuances here I want you to see. Isaiah 53:6 says this: "We all like sheep have gone astray." Somebody say amen. Amen. We're sheep that end up going different ways than we should. "Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity," or the sin, or the effects of sin. "He has laid on him the iniquity," now here, listen to the phrase, "of us all." The total, the weight of what 107 billion people's worth, and there's still people coming after us, the weight of all of that was laid on him. You and I could never stand up underneath that. It would be impossible. I can barely stand up under the weight of my own sin. Listen to how it's rendered in the Today's Living Bible. It says, "We, every one of us, have strayed away like sheep. We who have left God's path to follow our own." And here's the phrase I want you to hear: "Yet God laid on him the guilt and the sins of every one of us." The Message says it this way: "And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. We can't even begin to comprehend what all that means. I'm telling you, folks, this is the most expensive meal ever bought and paid for in history. Most expensive right here. Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven where there's, where there's food to eat beyond measure, and everything's good, right? Everything's good there. There's no brokenness. There's no sin. There's no sorrow. There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no heartache. There's nothing. He left that to come down and eat our sin. It's unfathomable. I said to you a moment ago, the amazing thing about this is that you and I don't have to pay for this. That's amazing. You know, every once in a while, someone will take Jody and I out to dinner. That's totally awesome. I love that when it happens. You know, somebody will just say, "Hey, we just want to bless you, take you folks out for dinner," or whatever, and we say, "When are we leaving?" Right? "When are we going?" Right? Here's the only thing that Jesus asks of us. When we come to this meal, he only asked one thing. Jesus only asked us to do one thing. Remember what it was? Remember me. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, all I want you to do is remember me. Paul, in one of his letters in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, goes on to kind of what I would call kind of magnify that idea a little bit. And he says this. He says, nobody should come to this table and eat it in an unworthy manner. In an unworthy manner. Now, a lot of people think to themselves, they immediately think when they hear a phrase like that, they immediately think, I'm not worthy. Well, that's not what's being talked about. What's being talked about there, if you go back and you look at it, is being able to rightly understand what this actually represents, and in turn, be so caught off guard by it almost, that your heart it couldn't help but extend a thanks to God for paying for a meal that he ate that I didn't deserve. That's what it means to come in a worthy way. It means to come and look and truly understand what this meal is all about. That it's the most expensive meal ever paid for in history. The Bible is abundantly clear that you and I cannot pick the tab up on this one. It's impossible. It's not possible. You know, you might think, well, I could take care of my own sin. Yeah, right. There's no way we can pick up the tab for this meal. But what we can do this, and it's really all that we're asked to do, is to accept Jesus at his invitation. To embrace the notion and the truth that he has taken all of my sin and paid for it dearly. Remember, he didn't have to do this. For God so loved the world. You know, that verse never grows old. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That whosoever would believe in him, would not perish, would not die in their sin, would not experience the worst after effects of that other meal that was eaten. The worst after effects of that meal are not even what we're living with right now. As uncalculable as what that is, the worst after effects is living apart from God for all eternity. And all Jesus asks is that we would accept his invitation, and when we come to this meal, remember him. I'm going to invite the worship team to make their way back to the platform, and I'm also going to invite the elders, if you'll come and make ready to serve folks this morning. Listen, I just realized that Russ isn't here. Ben, I see you sitting over there. Will you hop in and help serve this morning? Thank you. He is worthy. Amen. Let me say it again. He is worthy. Amen. Lord, we remember you. We remember you, Lord. Why don't you just carve out a little private space right there between you and God, wherever you're at. I know some of you are sitting next to your spouse or your other family members and whatnot, but if you could just somehow center in right now and just carve out a little spot there between you and the Lord. You know, I realized this morning that there may be somebody here that's never... Maybe you've never even had communion before, or when, as you've had it, you've really not understood the depths that this meal means. I want to just seize this moment, and I want you to consider allowing Jesus Christ to pay for this meal for you. Let him pick up your tab by accepting him as your means of salvation, by putting your faith and your trust in him and in him alone, not in your own strength to pay for your own meal. Not to try to work it off as a, you know, some kind of dishwasher in the back. But to let him buy this meal for you. All you need to do is simply say, God, I know I need you. Jesus, there is no way I can pay for the mess that I find myself in. The mess with you, sometimes the mess in my own heart, the mess in relationships in this life. There is no way I can pick up the tab for that. So I'm asking, I'm accepting your invitation. And in it, I'm remembering you. And I'm saying thank you. Thank you for picking up my tab. Maybe you're here this morning and you have done that before, but somehow you've lost sight of all that. You know, sometimes I found that you know, we can start out knowing this thing is by faith, and somehow we still slip into a works mindset. We slip into this thing where we think we're having to do things to earn God's forgiveness and love. I just want to encourage you to renounce that thinking afresh this morning. To not live your life in a way where you're trying to pay for your tab. But to once again say in your heart, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. I'm remembering you. You have done the unbelievable. And sometimes the best words to say are just the simple words, thank you. Thank you. You know, here's the really, I got to say this morning, because I believe God wants to do something unique. I believe that God still uses this table to do supernatural things in the hearts and lives. This isn't just simply a thing we do every few weeks and because we were told to do it or asked to do it. I believe, you know, one of the words for this table is a Greek word that has to do with the presence of God. And while we teach and believe that these are simply emblems, they aren't the literal blood. They aren't the literal body. What we do believe is that the Holy Spirit is at work in this table. And we live our lives with some of those ongoing effects of sin. But one of the things I believe is that this table, when rightly recognized, when rightly observed, when we come to it understanding our sin and we understand the price that has been paid, I believe that God can work through this table to bring breakthroughs in people's life. He can use these little pieces of cracker and these little cups of juice to stir something in the heart of another. He can bring physical healing, spiritual healing. He can bring emotional healing. And that's what I'm praying for today. I'm asking God that as we ingest these spiritual emblems of your person, your body, your blood, Lord, I'm praying for a release of the Holy Spirit to bring healing and change to the hearts and lives of those who will participate in this meal. Lord, for those who've been depressed, I pray that you will bring release to them. You will break that thing off of them. For those who've been walking in anxiety and fear, we pray that as they partake in this meal, your peace that passes all understanding will come upon their heart, mind, and soul. We pray that as people have been battling physical things this morning, that they will experience a greater healing in their body because they're partaking in your body and in your blood. I pray for issues of unforgiveness that have gone on towards people, for themselves, towards other people. We pray that as we share in your body and blood, your forgiveness will be poured out to us. And we will accept it not only for ourselves, but for those that we have offense against. Let healing come through your table this morning, Lord. Let it begin to cancel in a greater way the effects of sin in our lives, the effects of this fallen world that we live in, Lord. Let your blood be applied to our lives and hearts afresh. And may we know a greater sense of walking in the wellness that you bought and paid for us. That people would get set free from junk. Lord, I am so tired. I am so sad and tired of going to wakes for people who take too many drugs, Lord. Lord, for those who are battling things here this morning as we partake in your table, that there would come greater release in their lives from the effects of sin in Jesus' name. Let your table have its full worth in our life. Let this meal have its full measure in our heart and in our lives, Lord. We are going to serve the body or the bread of the little pieces that we talked about earlier. We're going to serve that to you. If you could just hang on to it, we're going to sing a little bit, but just kind of keep a little prayer closet, a little private place there going on with you and God. Let him speak to your heart and life. But if you could hold on to it until everybody's had a chance to be served, and then we'll just offer one last word of thanks before we share in it together. Go ahead, guys. Lord, I can't imagine how your how your body held on up under the weight I don't even know how I held on up under the weight of my own personal sin, let alone the sins of the whole world. But we thank you that in your body you did carry it all. You did take it all. No wonder it says that you weren't even recognizable. And I'm just here to say thank you this morning, to remember it and to say thank you. There's nothing else we can do. It's not like we could even cover part of the tab. Thank you, Jesus. Next weekend, people across our nation will have parades and cookouts and services, and it's a lot of stuff going on to remember the lives of those lost in various wars around the world because of the first meal that was eaten in history. Lord, we're here this morning to remember you. You who have eaten the most, who took upon yourself the most costliest of all meals ever, so that we could know some freedom now from the effects of sin in our life, and ultimately so that we will know completely in eternity what it's like to live without sin. The price, your life, your blood. Once again, we say thank you. Thank you for giving everything so that we could experience freedom. I pray again that as we take this inside of us, that the effects of what you have done for us, just like the effects of sin upon us, the effects of what you have done for us, the healing, the forgiveness, that it will penetrate to every part of who we are. Thank you for your blood. Amen. Let's partake together. Today, as we leave here, many of us will go on to have a meal someplace, back home or at a restaurant or something. And regardless of whatever price tag you would put on that meal, please never forget, you just ate, you just ate the most expensive meal ever in all of history. And the best part about it, you didn't have to pay for it. Amen? You can't pay for it. Remember that. You can't. I'm going to pray a final prayer. You got something for on the way out the door? Okay, Father, as we go from this place, may we carry in our minds and our hearts, Lord, just that sense that you are for us and not against us. You have taken care of the things that we get worked up about. And as we let this week unfold and we join the adventure with you, Lord, I pray that by a work of your Spirit in each of our hearts and lives, you will remind us of some things that we've touched on today and give us new insights and understandings. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, bless these folks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.